Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here today with Elena Spetzlot from the Netherlands. And we are going to deal with one of the most common problems of family life today. When we have parents take our child behavior inventory, which measures 10 different areas in a child's life, then it's graphed automatically. So you can see on a graph how the child's doing in various areas. This is the one that comes up at the top most of the time. The one with the biggest struggle. And so we're going to jump in and talk about accepting no as an answer and dealing with disappointment, a major area of a child's life. So Elena, welcome today.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, today we're talking about probably the most, challenging perhaps, or one of the most challenging topics in parenting, accepting no as an answer or taking no as an answer for our children. And so I'm really grateful that we can have this conversation. It's a popular topic. We speak with the parents and the families we're coaching. And it's really exciting to be talking about this. So very common habit or very common way of responding in most of our children is, of course, not to accept our answer when we say no. Dr. Scott, where is this coming from? I know you talk a lot about the heart and how things are happening in hearts of our children. Can you introduce us a bit or share more with us about what precisely happens in the heart when a child has this response?
Yes, and that's a great place to start, because what happens inside of a child's heart is we start with desires. Children have desires. They want things. And when desires get too strong, they turn into expectations of how things should go. Many children have expectations of what they're going to get, how things are going to go, and they're pretty rigid about that. But when expectations get too strong, they turn into demand. And these children then have these internal demands, and they get upset if things don't happen, or they demands even appear externally, and the children can appear demanding in their lives. So there's this disappointment that takes place when the desire is not reached or fulfilled. And this is the basis for major struggles in many children's lives. I would suggest that as parents, we have a job to do, and that is teach our children how to accept no as an answer. It's one of the biggest things that they're going to need in their lives. I'm going to explain why that is, but we have to be able to say no to our children. Now, one of the challenges is that in our world today, there is a whole movement to not say no to kids. That in preschool education, at least in our area, the teachers are told, don't say no to children. Rather, what you want to do is redirect them, or you want to give them choices. Now, I'm not opposed to those things, but just think what's happening in a child's life. Every time you give them a redirect, or every time you give them choices, you're appealing to their selfishness. Here, let me give you something you want more than this thing, or what would you like to do? And child has more control. And so they don't really learn how to accept no as an answer. There must be a time in every child's life where they hear the word no, because it throws them into the workshop of their heart where they have to process what we call disappointment. And disappointment is a grieving that takes place over a loss that they've experienced. Children must learn how to do that. And when they do and they practice this, they develop two very important godly qualities. They are gratitude and contentment. Those two qualities help a child to be able to manage life effectively, not just now, but for the rest of their lives, because life isn't going to turn out exactly the way you like continually. And so you must be able to receive a no answer in order to be able to function. I mean, just think, children someday are going to have to live on a budget, or they're going to have to live on a diet. And those things require contentment and gratefulness within limit. And we always bump up against these limits in life. And when children experience a limit, even if it's a no answer, they have to be able to accept that. That's what we're talking about in this particular session.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And indeed, I absolutely agree with your comment around taking no for an answer as adults, as well as in so many situations. In most of the situations, we are given a no as an answer, whether it's a job interview, whether it's a salary increase, whether it's a promotion, or many other situations in our lives. So having that practice really helps to manage it. So Dr. Scott, how is that then going to look like in terms of practicing, in terms of working with our children? Let's say there is a family who's not done this before, and they would like to to start?
Okay. Where we start is in the instruction routine. We go back to teaching children how to follow instructions. And even in that routine, we start with coming when called. Here's why. When you call a child, when they're in the midst of something or not in the midst of something, when they're involved playing or doing whatever, and you interrupt them and that you call them and you expect them to come right away, imagine what's happening inside the heart of a child. The child has to let something go in order to come. That's the first thing. And the second thing is they're developing a sense of obligation, which says, I need to come right away. And it's going to translate into some very helpful things. So the first one is that a child needs to learn to let things go. This develops emotional flexibility. So we don't even practice with the accepting no as an answer first. What we do is we practice with the coming when called, the following instructions. And we do that because we're trying to exercise a particular part of the heart, which is really close to this disappointment area. When a child has to let go of the iPad activity or stop reading the book or stop playing with a friend and come to the parent, that part of the heart is being exercised, a very important part of the heart that the children need. But then the second thing is this obligation that's developed. You see, inside of a person's heart is a wrestling between the I want to and the I need to. The I want to is all the things I want to do, but the I need to is what I need to do. And essentially all of us wrestle with that. And those who do what they need to do, even though they don't want to do it, those are the responsible people. And so there's this wrestling between the I need to and the I want to. And again, this instruction routine then starts to curb the appetite of the desires. It's the desires when desires are out of control, then a child experiences extreme disappointment. We're trying to help a child develop emotional flexibility. And so we're working with the instruction routine. That's the very first thing that we do.
When they are hearing no, when they're in a shop, for example, or when they're in a public situation, how do we deal with that? I suspect you would say that we need to deal with that earlier in the process. But what would be a good response to parents when they are in those kind of situations?
Well, when you're in a public situation and the child wants gum at the grocery store or wants to buy some candy when you're at the fair or something, and that's just not something you're going to do, then those are like the final exams. That's what I say to parents. Mm-hmm. You got to practice at home with other things. You know, when a child comes to you and says, I'm hungry, you might say to a child, yes, we're going to have a snack in 15 minutes. Come back and see me. And the child might look shocked at you because they're so used to getting what they want on demand. And what you're saying now is, no, we're going to wait a little bit. So teaching children to wait is just part of this whole process so the children can learn how to respond better in these kind of situations.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And we get many kind of questions like this from parents. So let's go a bit back to the basics, to the concepts, the principle or accepting no for an answer. So we learn in the coaching program that giving alternatives or trying to avoid saying no, it's not a good practice. So how you just gave an example about, you know, how do we say no, but what would be a good way, way in which it's not necessarily very brutal to say no to a child? And maybe sometimes it's also needed to be a bit more direct when you say no. But what would your recommendation be there?
Are you saying when a child is having a hard time accepting no as an answer in
general?
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say to a child, let's talk about the word no. Because it sounds to me like the word no is a trigger for you. And when you hear no or wait, then sometimes you get upset. And so we're going to practice with that. And the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to give you a plan of what you can do or say to yourself when I say no to you. When I say no to you or when the other parent says no to you, you want to say these words. I'm disappointed, but that's okay. And one grandma was teaching her three-year-old to say those words. I'm disappointed, but that's okay. It just changed the whole atmosphere because the little girl found out, she realized she was in that place again where she wasn't getting what she wanted. And grandma was teaching her to say that, those words, I'm disappointed, but I'll be okay. So that's the first thing we do. And then when we are coming to a question, a child, some children just keep asking and asking and asking for things. And sometimes we say to a child, look, don't ask me for anything else until you can come to a place that I can say yes to. I'm not going to keep responding to you because I have to keep saying no. And I don't want to keep saying no to you. But the child, that's a child who's badgering because they keep wanting something. But what we're also trying to do here is we're trying to help children to be able to change kind of the triggers and the patterns. So sometimes I had a mom recently with her 8-year-old. She was convinced her child just whenever she heard the word no, she would have a problem. So they just said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say the word no several times to you in the course of the day, not even in regards to a request. I'm just going to say, Billy, no. And you're going to say, I'm disappointed, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be this this response just to the word no. That when they're not, it's not even in context. It's just a random no that comes out and the child learns how to respond so that when we get into those situations where we are in a challenging environment, that the child can respond well to the no answer, has a plan for addressing that as well. Disappointment is a really big and challenging experience. And so one of the things we can do is not just be corrective here, but be proactive. I think one of the things we do with children is we say, let's develop a gratefulness journal. What can you be grateful for? Because gratefulness is often the antidote to this problem of demandingness in a child's life. So when we develop a gratefulness chart or a gratefulness journal, then the child can learn how to do some real internal work by spending time focusing on gratitude. Instead of what they don't have, they want to be grateful for what they do have. So this is the whole idea that we're trying to help children experience. When I was trying to think, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about this. We have the kids memorize that Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But right before that, that's Philippians 4:13, it says, Paul's saying, I know how to live humbly. And I know how to abound. I am accustomed to any and every situation, to being filled, being hungry, to have plenty and have need. Then it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The point is, yes, you can learn how to accept no as an answer. That's the passage that he's talking about. So we usually have them memorize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we need to realize that's a passage about contentment. Mm-hmm. And Paul is saying, you can live without the next level of iPad or the next update of the video game or something like that. So children become demanding because they have desires that are out of control. And part of our job is to help them learn how to mitigate that and to be able to accept the limit that they'll need to live on for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, Douglas Scott, as you speak, I started to think about different ways to apply this at different ages. Do you feel, or do you think, or do you know, as we work with children at different ages, how this would differ, or would it differ?
Yes, it does differ. Certainly, we start saying no to children at 2 or even younger, because what they're doing, is they've moved in that stage from infancy to toddlerhood, where they are now no longer sitting in a car seat or a seat. They're not longer sitting in a seat just looking around at the world. Now what they're doing is they're mobile and they're moving around. As soon as they get to be mobile, then parents find themselves saying no. So again, if we're saying no too much, we want to be able to change that as parents. But that's when we're starting to help children live within limits, right off the bat there. But certainly that's different than when children are teenagers, because we're going to have discussions with teenagers. We're going to say, look, one of the things that's going to help you in the rest of your life is going to be this idea of being able to live within limits, not having to have everything that you want at when you want it. And that's going to be a secret to life. Some people are so sad about life because they don't get what they want. But you don't have to live that way, because you can learn contentment and gratefulness. Those are two qualities. And that's when we can employ things like the gratefulness journal or whatever. And then certainly this idea of practicing gratefulness is important, or practicing handling disappointment well is going to be a key ingredient. All of this has to do with emotional management inside the child, so that the child can self-regulate emotions in a way that is much more mature than not. So So, you know, we're working with children to help them grow in that area.
Yeah, I think that's so essential to start in the beginning and to start early and to adjust things as our children grow and to continue to implement and practice and make sure that we're reinforcing and helping them understand why we're saying no and why they need to learn to hear and to accommodate and know in their lives. Dr. Scott, before we get to the end of this episode, are there any other thoughts you would like to share with us on saying no, but also helping children accept no for an answer?
Yeah, I would just say that we want children to live within limits. Some children are not content to live within limits, so they use dishonesty to go outside the limits when with a cell phone or a tablet, or some children will be dishonest to take some food when they've been told no. These kinds of things are indications that we have a problem in this area. And so we need to spend extra time working on this area of accepting no as an answer and living within limits. And that's going to come best through training. So we're looking for ways to help children accept that and be able to practice it in their own lives.
Thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for all the wise advice. And if you parents or teachers or everybody who's listening to this, with this episode, if you have further questions, we would really love for you to go to biblicalparenting.org. There are a lot of resources there you can tap into. You can even find a list of coaches that are working and with which you can start on a program. There's also resources if you want to do this on your own. So it's an excellent place to get started. And feel free to share this with those you might think that might benefit from listening. Until next time, we wish you a blessed day.